Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, please visit nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advance purchase at nycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 30 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. This week, Brandon Christopher of The Quarter Bin and Brent Cassina join in on a chock full of spoilers review of Justice Society of America numbers 1 and 2. We didn't manage to beat Raging Bullets to JSA number 1, but at least we beat them to number 2. Victory is ours! Ba-ba-da. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 30 of Comic Timing. Well, how do we celebrate episode 30? Not really. We're joined by Brent Cassina, who's always on the show, it seems, these days. Brent, how are you?
Hey, I'm only here by invitation only, so blame it on me.
He's actually been in my closet for the past 2 weeks. He just sort of hides there and waits for the podcast to start. So, Brent, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting next to you with my hand on your lap.
Anywho, the episode starts off lovingly today, folks. But no, in all seriousness, though, he's here because I want him to be here because we have a special relationship. Brent, what's going on?
You let out the secret.
After school special.
Yes, he's Nightwing BK in the forums, by the way, to remind you. Also joined for the first time by the host of The Quarter Bin. Where can you find that again, Brandon?
Quarterbin.libsyn.com.
Excelente. And he's Indigo Fire on the forums, the Indigo Fire on the forums. He is Brandon Christopher. What's up, Brandon?
Not much. Yeah. Oh, boy. It feels good to be here, actually.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you enjoy the spread I put out for everybody. You know, the bagels, the wok, the schmear that
the
only
schmear,
I can eat because it's in, because obviously in my kitchen.
Yes.
The tasteful news of Ian.
That's the biggest problem with Skype. I mean, there's not exactly much, you know, goings on other than hearing people's voices. So I can't really, like, hand you a drink or, you know, give you a cookie or anything like that unless I'm putting it through my monitor, and that's kind of difficult. So
tasty beverage. And by tasty beverage, I mean beer.
But anyway, yeah, today we're going to be doing what we wanted to do about 3 weeks back, and that's actually do a review of JSA number 1. Instead of that, though, we're going to do a summary of JSA number 1, and JSA number 2 came out today. So, spoiler warning for anybody who hasn't made it to the store yet, this is going to review JSA number 2, and we're going to go into possibly what we think is going to happen later on in JSA as the year goes on. But we're going to make a quick summary of JSA number 1 first, and I'm going to hand the reins over to Brent here, because my actual issue of this appears to have somehow opened up a hole in hypertime, and is now somewhere in a world where Batman and Superman both ride horseback.
52.
Exactly. So I know what happened in the issue, but you can be a lot more specific than I am at this point, Brent. So start the summary, buddy.
All right, here's where I take over the show. You open up JSA number 1, and you find a one-page spread of World War III, basically just a flashback, or flash forward, if you're reading 52, to what's coming up.
We 52! Have
Green Lantern, Power Girl, Star Spangled Kid, or whatever she goes by, Wildcat, Dr. Midnight, Our Man, Old Flash.
Old Flash. What is this?
Thunderbolt. Mr. Terrific, and Sandman. They're fighting and running, looking really heroic.
I'm sure he objects to being called Old Flash, by the way.
Old Flash, Young Flash, and then there was Kid Flash. So, you know, he's Old Flash.
Get him back here, you whippersnapper.
You can call him Golden Age Flash. I mean, you can call him the first Flash. But no, Old Flash. That's very respectful of your elders, man.
Yeah, I don't know the guy.
Nobody does. He's not real.
Well, some people may think they know him.
Yeah. And she, and by the way, Star Spangled Kid goes by Stargirl now, just to remind you about that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Whatever. Yeah.
Semantics. Anywho.
Yeah, who cares? Hot girl in a blue costume. Anyway.
With a giant star in her chest.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at her chest, you perv. She's underage.
Whoa.
Moving on.
Later. One.
Moving on.
So we see the JLA talking to the JSA. Basically, the big three of the JLA talking to the big three of the JSA. So it's Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman talking to Wildcat, Green Lantern, and Old Flash.
You're just going to keep that up, man.
Basically saying that the JSA is a moral compass and a family, which we already knew, but establishing for new readers. Then we get a couple of pages of this new guy, who's really an old guy, because apparently he has a history. His name is Mr. America.
Yeah.
Last episode, if you were on the internet when it got lost, maybe you heard this, but I said his costume was really old-looking and really, like, classic, really golden age.
He has experience. His line, the line of generations. There have been many Mr. America over the years. So this is maybe the fourth incarnation of Mr. America. So that's why it's nice and old fashioned. Really hasn't changed much since that first incarnation.
So he's walking into a murder scene. Apparently, it's his wife and kids that have been murdered. So he reveals his identity to the cops. Then we have the JSA pulling a JLA and looking at pictures, except this time it's only better. It lasts for one issue. Two pages, in fact.
Which could have very well been done in JLA number one in about two pages.
Oh,
but
if only.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much. Yeah. That still irks me a bit. I like the book. I like Justice League of America, specifically number one, but that whole sequence could have been done in about two pages, so I'm glad I did that here.
Yeah. So they're looking at that. Basically, all they're doing on that page is going over older members who have been on the team before. And you have Wildcat saying, you know, I don't want to be a father figure. You guys decide who's going to be on the team. Then we go to a city brawl. We have a guy looking like a Confederate flag. His name is Rebel. And then the new costume of Damage. And they're basically beating the shit out of each other.
Put it nicely.
Beating the tar, the spit.
You've cursed on the show before now, so I like the fact that you're asking now whether or not you can say shit. Because I've heard a lot worse come out of your mouth before.
Yeah, that's true. It's not 2:30 yet.
It's not 2:30 yet, exactly. But I like the new costume on Damage. I don't know what you guys think about it, but it works for him. The only problem is I didn't know he was Damage at first. I thought that perhaps he was Atom Smasher or something along those lines.
Yeah, same here. I thought he was Atom Smasher at first, but I'm just glad to see Damage at all.
Yeah.
I don't know how the
been out of comics for ages.
I don't know how the biohazard sign translates into Damage, so to say.
It means danger.
Yeah, Damage Control.
That's Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, never mind.
So anyway...
Damn.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, before we go any further, though, if you look on the page, you'll see Damage punching Rebel, and if you look at the sign, it says 52% off.
I remember
whack.
That from my first
time. Going.
Page. Yeah.
It says whack on it. So, like, and whacker.
Whack going.
Off.
Oh,
no. Stephen Whacker.
No. Yeah, Whacker. Stephen Whacker.
Well, that's what I said first, right. Whacker. And then I went to the obligatory whack off.
Yes, because obviously you are the youngest one here, so.
I can get away with it.
Juvenile humor, ladies and gentlemen.
Sophomore.
All right, fine. Yeah, I would have made the joke.
Yeah,
too,
but I'm a junior, so it's not really sophomore.
How old
I'm a
are
junior
you?
In but college. Sorry, I just had to stick it to you.
It is so great when I can, like, consider myself an elder of the show. That's perfect. Although, Brandon, you're older than I am.
No, I'm 22.
Oh, you're 22 also? Okay, good. We're both the elders of the
yes.
show. That's awesome. Kick ass. Continue, sir.
So, Our Man and Liberty Bell show up and basically offer Damage a spot on the team. He doesn't really want it, but he accepts it anyway, I guess.
Well, I like how he accepted basically because they were going to pay his bill.
Well, we didn't figure that out until we listened to Raging Bullets. I don't think we figured that out last time.
No, we did, actually. Yeah, yeah, I remember us mentioning
it. No, well, I don't remember it.
Yeah. No, Sean and Jim stole it from the episode that never got released.
Ooh. True. Those bastards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
We
love those guys.
Don't worry.
Yeah. They're probably scared off after the last episode.
No. Well, look, I just finished my episode with them yesterday, so that was a lot of fun. So that'll be episode 40 of Raging Bullets, so I hope you guys listen into that. But anyway.
Okay, flashback, or we're going back to Mr. America. He's hunting down the guy who killed his family. So he goes to his brother or brother-in-law's apartment, and there's this guy named Catalyst there. And he basically, his power is to emit chemicals, and then he wears this really ugly-looking suit to apply those chemicals to other people and makes them die.
He looks like a G.I. Joe villain, though.
He does.
And now you know, and knowing is half the battle.
And then there's a little art issue here. Back when you first saw Mr. America, he had a stripe on his stars on his cape, and these pages, no stripe. Sorry, that's just a carryover from last time.
Well, that reminds me of Joe Bennett's art, actually, on Hawkgirl, where the spike on her shoes keep appearing and disappearing on a regular basis. So
maybe she has different pairs of shoes
from panel to panel.
Yeah, like Catgirl from Dark Knight.
She can fly fast, you know.
That explains it all.
Oh, man.
This is going to be a fun episode.
So then we go to some redheaded Mary Jane-looking chick standing on a ledge. She jumps off the ledge. I couldn't figure out whether this was suicide or she was just trying to fly.
I think she was just trying to fly. I think that her powers had been manifesting over, you know, the past couple of weeks, and she was basically hoping that she knew how to fly.
Yeah. Or else
but she's supposed to be, like, clinically depressed or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Although she seemed pretty hyper for a clinically depressed person.
It's the meds.
That's next. Yeah. Anyway, her name is, what's her name? Maxine Hunkel, or that's her grandma?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, her name's Maxine Hunkel. What's her mom, her grandma called?
Ma.
Ma Hunkel.
Oh, gee, I'm glad there's a difference.
Actually, let me look that up right now,
yeah,
actually.
It is Maxine.
Yeah, it is Maxine, and yeah, her name is just pretty much Ma Hunkel. From what I know, the Golden Age Red Tornado, I don't see any other name listed for her. So.
Yeah.
Now here we go. Actually, it's Abigail.
Whoa.
Abigail Ma Hunkel.
Oh, I can see where they got Ma from Abigail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, her second name is Matilda.
Oh, okay.
It's Abigail Matilda Ma Hunkel.
Oh, that makes it okay then.
Yeah, it does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because comic characters need to have middle names, you know.
Of course.
Because they're real people.
Of course. Like Peter Hubert Parker.
Nah.
Hubert?
Hubert. No. No way.
Yeah, Hubert.
No.
Yeah. Why not?
No.
No.
No? You sure?
No.
No? Okay. Peter Rodriguez Parker.
Ooh.
Peter Rios Parker.
You beat me to it. Jorge Perez.
52.
And now the show can continue.
All right. So Power Girl and Mr. Terrific show up to recruit Maxine Hunkel, say welcome to the JSA. She explodes into a huge, you know, teenage girl, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada thing.
Fangirl, dare I say.
Yeah, a fangirl moment. Yeah.
It felt like I was on the line for, you know, Britney Spears tickets, and Britney Spears showed up.
We all know people like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't really feel like reading that whole thing again, so.
Well, please don't.
Well, if you feel like it, read it aloud, and it's really funny.
Yeah. It is really funny if you actually do read it, and eventually, after a while, their bodies cut off the words, but you can read enough.
Yeah, just don't breathe in between the sentences, because, you know, that's the whole effect right there.
You see, I'm so glad that you guys are here, because if you weren't here, then you would be here. Pretty much.
Yeah. Very, very good, by the way, Ian. That was dead on.
Thank you very much, man.
Did you have to squeeze your nuts to get that high?
How'd you guess?
I'm sitting right next to you, man. Come on.
With the hand on lap, right?
Yeah.
You're sitting right next to me in podcasting land, but...
It's a scary place, podcasting land.
Yes, it is. It is. Just like the podcast arena.
Dun-dun.
Okay, so then we go to Opal City, home of Starman. Sean and Jim on Raging Bullets said this guy was Earth 2 Superman. Just by the way, now it's obvious he's not, but I still don't get what they're seeing. Just because they has the same pose and build.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they were going for. And, I mean, I can understand why they might have believed that. Plus, I am one of those people who, you know, would eventually like to see Earth 2 Superman come back. So when they were saying it, I was sort of buying into it because I'm like, oh, yeah, wow, that could work. It'd be a nice way to bring him back like that.
I wasn't buying into it because of the tease on the last page of this issue.
Yeah.
Can't buy into it for that.
Well, obviously, I hadn't. No, wait, at the end of that issue? Okay, yeah, no, I got
and
you.
And the
okay,
end of one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, it establishes that Starman loves Sloppy Joes and is basically nuts.
Sloppy Joes.
Because he lives in a asylum with padded walls, color kids and polar boys. You know, he's saying some really weird stuff. So Stargirl and Dr. Midnight come to recruit him. He says, I think I've lost my mind. Can you help me find it? We go back to the old people with old Flash, old Green Lantern,
old
and Wildcat.
Oh, God. Why not old Wildcat?
He doesn't have gray hair.
I have gray hairs on my head, so what you're telling me is that I'm old.
Old
well,
Ian.
Alan Scott, there's more than one Green Lantern, so he's old Flash by default.
Aww.
Oh, God.
Red Casino, ladies and gentlemen. You could find him on, okay, anyway.
Yeah, Comics Timing, blame Ian.
Yeah, right.
Send your hate mail to...
I kind of like how we're getting a, you know, a rendition of BK's Bullets on this episode, so...
Yeah, okay.
It's
so,
true. It's Flash, true, man.
Flash forward to Mr. America. Somebody sneaks up on him from behind. That's that page. Maxine Hunkel embraces her grandmother on the next page, goes to the JSA mansion. We see the team gathered together. Our Man and Liberty Bell look like they're having sex on that table. Starman...
They're not, though. This is a G comic here. You can't do things like that.
Oh, yeah, okay. You can.
Well, if Warren Ellis was writing this book, that's what they'd be doing.
Yeah. Oh, and also, it's not their mansion. That's the Avengers. It's actually their brownstone.
What's a brownstone?
A brownstone is a type of a house type thing that's not a mansion. It's something that's familiar to, like, Manhattan and New York City, basically. It's in Philadelphia. It's a certain type of house with a bricking on the outside that sort of gives it like a brown appearance, I guess.
Well, it looks like a pretty big house, which translates me to a mansion.
Okay.
It's got marble pillars, after all, and a marble table.
Yeah,
and gold little leaflets on the bottom of the pillars.
But do they have a butler named Jarvis?
That's what my uncle's for.
My uncle Jarvis of DC Universe.
My uncle is 52.
No, I'm not touching that one.
Okay.
I'm gonna refer him because it's a really dumb joke.
You could take that statement any way. Actually, she's 52 years old. She is 52. Any way you want, but go on.
Mr. Trivik's talking to Starman, and he looks really like, if you say one more thing to my face, I'll punch you. Mm-hmm. Damage is alone. Dr. Midnight is alone reading a book. He's probably reading Brokeback Mountain.
Oh! Excuse me? Oh.
Dr. Midnighter, should I say?
Yeah. What did I call him?
Dr. Midnight.
Dr. Midnighter.
Yeah, Dr. Midnighter.
Did I say Midnighter?
Yeah, you did. It's Dr. Midnight.
They're a DC property. What the fuck?
Just like my name is Evan Levenstein, so...
Yeah, we'll just call you Odd.
Okay. But he's definitely not reading Brokeback Mountain, all right? He's not that type... No, I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
He's one of those artsy emo guys. He could be reading Brokeback Mountain. Just
artsy
to see what the fuss
emo
is about.
Guys? Yeah. Oh, wow. So he's blind, so he's emo.
He wears depressed jeans?
No, that's not what I was saying.
Right.
He doesn't wear the girl's pants because his legs are too big to fit in any girl's pants.
Fred Casino, ladies and gentlemen. You can find him on Raging Bullets and...
Comic Timing.
Comic Timing, yeah. Wow. So, yeah.
The old JSA is going somewhere. Old Flash, and Old Green Lantern has Old Wildcat in a chair pulling behind him.
See, now you're definitely just doing this to piss us off.
Yeah.
So Old Brent, continue.
No, it's more like Young Brent.
No, there's a younger Brent out there, so you have to be old. Because obviously, if there's anybody that happens to have your name and you're older than them, you're obviously old, insert name here. And there has to be a four-year-old Brent out there somewhere, so you're old Brent.
No, see, they have to take up my mantle. They have to take over BK's bullets for me to become old Brent.
How do you know that Burger King hasn't already started a BK's bullets? Copyright infringement, man. I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious. They're going to knock down your door. Burger King King will come to your door.
I want to wear his mask. That's creepy.
This is the most fun episode I've ever partaken in.
This is for you. It's a burger.
Yeah, exactly. Guy feels like a stalker, you know?
Have you seen the BK game? Oh, my God.
I would love that game. Dude, I want an Xbox 360 just so I can play that.
The stalker game?
Yeah, and the bumper car game.
Sneak up behind him and give him food?
Bumper car game looks like it's damn fun. So anyway, back to the old characters.
Older characters, they're taking Wildcat, and they tell him he has a son. At the same time, Mr. America flies through the roof of the JSA mansion / brownstone.
It's not exactly a flying, it's more like a falling to your death.
Tossing.
Yeah.
Well, some say flying is falling with style.
That's true.
Thank you, Buzz Lightyear.
Space Ranger! To infinity and beyond.
I thought the Space Rangers were like one of the Power Rangers.
No, that's Buzz Lightyear.
That's Power Rangers in space.
I'm sorry, continue.
So yeah, that's our cliffhanger. He's dead on the table. Or lives to be dead.
But then we get to the important page.
The last page. There are four panels here. The first panel, and this is a preview of the coming year in JSA. And just so you know, I'm going to say JSA because I don't like saying Justice Society of America 40,000 times.
Thank you, Jeff Johns.
The funny voice returns.
Jeff Johns, why did you have to change the name of your book?
I'm almost positive it was DC that decided to do it because why else would JLA become Justice League of America?
Well, I liked it when it was three letters each.
Yeah, well I'm sorry. Not everything can be abbreviated.
Well, I'm abbreviating it for a podcast time.
Mr. BK Bullet.
Since I took over the show.
Anarchy. Okay, please continue, host of Comic Timing.
Ah, thank you, Odd. All right. So, four panels. First one, we're outside Arkham Asylum. There's Batman, Commissioner Gordon, Starman, and what looks like to be Sandman. And I'm thinking this other guy in Shadow is, I want to say, Geo-Force.
I'm starting to think that more and more.
Because he's in the latest JLA, you know, they actually show him.
Wait, Geo-Force?
In the last two JLAs.
Isn't that Terra's brother?
That beats me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is actually the case, yeah. Hmm. And Terra's back, so...
Well, it's a new Terra.
It's a new Terra, yeah, but, you know, it does make a bit of sense that it could be Geo-Force, considering he did just show up in JLA. However, I'm still kind of hoping it's either Animal Man or Booster Gold.
Well, it ain't Animal Man.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, sir.
Actually,
from this point on, there might be a couple of spoilers for the latest issue of 52 with the cover involving Lobo, just to let you folks know, because I was going to take it out, but I'm going to keep it in for comedic effect. After all, this is Comic Timing. And also to piss off Brent.
It looks like Gavin from Starman, the other Starman.
Ain't Animal Man.
Oh, God. Brent.
I'm taking that out of the show, man. You didn't put spoilers ahead of that. No way. That doesn't fly on my show. I'm sorry. No. Not going to happen.
No spoilers in this all-spoiler episode.
All right. Exactly. So, this page, this panel, Batman says, "What else do you see, Sandman?" Which actually says the guy in the back is Sandman. Mm-hmm. Sandman says, I have to do the effect.
I saw your Batman.
And that's bad. You have to think of a muffled horrible. Effect. A muffled effect.
How's this? Is this muffled? Does it sound muffled?
That works. That works, yeah.
I saw you, Batman, torn to shreds inside those walls.
And then Starman says, it's the Doctor, the one with no face. And then Mystery Man, who's not Animal Man, says, I'll notify the League.
Well, it could be Animal Man. It could be.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. That's all I'm saying. It could be. I'm not saying it will be. I'm saying it could be. I actually kind of have my money on either Geo-Force or Booster Gold. Either way.
Okay.
Because Booster, you never know.
It's not Animal.
It could be Animal Man, though.
And now it's time for another spoiler brought to you by Bread Cassina. He really loves spoiling that 52, now doesn't he?
Okay, if you have green foam coming out of your mouth, I'm not going to say somebody else is you, out of respect. Okay?
All right. So, okay. That's perfectly fine. Yet again, what you just said is going to be taken out of the show anyway.
Oh, come on, that was awesome.
But you didn't say spoilers.
Well, put in spoilers.
You gotta say that there's gonna be spoilers.
This is spoilers about JSA number 2.
Yes, I know. And yet you just revealed spoilers about 52.
No. If they hadn't read JSA number 2, then they probably haven't been to the comic shop or gotten their shipment for 52 week 36.
Oh, God. Brent Casino. Oh, Brent. Walking spoiler.
Brent. I mean, what are you gonna do next? Tell people that Speedball is penance?
Oh! Oh, snap. I think you broke the interweb.
No, that was Civil War, or House of M, or whatever was supposed to do that.
Dying and then coming to back, and then dying and then coming to back.
Yeah.
And then the next panel is much more simpler to describe. It is a woman's hand saying, I have to go, I have to track down Starman.
But what is she wearing, though?
And she's wearing, like, Indian chaps on her arm, because they have little stringlets.
What's in her hand?
A Legion ring.
Ooh,
and then there's feathers in the background.
And that person is
Dawnstar.
Yes.
Very good.
And she's not part of the current
Legion
of Superheroes, exactly. She's a part of the old one. So it's kind of interesting that she's even there.
Well,
because I mean,
let's wait
until
the end of number 2 to further discuss that. Okay, so then third panel, Power Girl standing over Kal-El's grave, being of Kal-El of Earth 2. There's a hand in a blue sleeve coming out of the ground, right by his grave. So, DC Zombies coming soon in JSA.
Oh, so is there going to be Army of Darkness meets DC Zombies?
No, it'll be, what's the other thing? It'll be Evil Dead versus Army of, JSA Zombies.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Was there a different zombie movie? Or skeleton movie?
Brent Cassina, ladies and gentlemen. You can find him on Raging Bullets and... I'm trying to think. Like what other good one would there be that's... how about this? Shaun of the Dead meets DC Zombies.
Or Night of the Living Dead meets DC Zombies.
There you go.
Booyah. Dead Rising meets DC Zombies.
Okay, we're just going to keep rattling off zombies.
28 Days Later meets DC Zombies.
Oh,
28
Lordy.
DCs later, they could call it.
Oh. 52 DCs later.
House of the DC Zombies.
It never ends.
But I don't think it's going to be a zombie Kal-El. I don't think they're going to go in that direction. If it is Kal-El, it's going to be Kal-El.
Yeah.
I think. Or for all we know, it could very well be the current Superman that was buried in his grave. That would be really, really... That would be totally, totally... throwing everybody off the trail.
Superman's a necrophiliac of himself.
Fred Cassina, ladies and gentlemen, you can find him on Raging Bullets and on The Four.
Yeah, I'm not on The Four. I'm leaving with that comment. Sayonara.
Oh, Lordy.
So, last one. Kingdom Come Superman, painted by Alex Ross, and saying, it never ends.
Which, obviously, I cannot wait to see another Kingdom Come story.
Well,
specifically, the fact that Alex Ross is going to be involved with it, so...
Well, I don't... Do you think he's going to paint it?
No.
No?
I think he's going to be writing it. I think, actually, yeah, he's going to be co-writer with Geoff Johns.
No, he's co-plotter. I swear to God.
Co-plotter. I got you. Okay.
He's co-plotter.
Right. Wait.
Okay.
Wait, is this the JSA-JLA crossover?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right.
I think. I'm not entirely certain.
That would be
that.
The first panel. I think the first panel is the JLA-JSA crossover.
No, you're right about that. Yeah, no, this one is just going to be a Kingdom Come story that Alex Ross is co-plotting with Geoff Johns.
I think the last three panels tie into the one story, and the first one is just a separate one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that first panel there probably is going to be involved with a story that's probably going to probably start either in issue 4 or maybe 5. You know, and I'm really going to see it too much now.
But I think now that we know where Starman's from, and there we see Kingdom Come Superman and the hand coming out, and then the Dawnstar, I think that's all in one story.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. And we'll get into Starman as we, you know, get into the in-depth review of JSA number 2. Before we actually get into JSA number 2, let's start to talk about it as a whole. Did it live up to the expectations you thought that you know, you were going to have for the book when you finished reading JSA number 1? Were you happy with the results of this? And, you know, are you as happy with this as you were with number 1?
Well, as a whole, I think the whole series is just fantastic. Like, I think you said on your last episode that you can't wait to read JSA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the same feeling with this one. I'm like, this is really my first major experience with JSA. I read a couple of the trades when I at Barnes & Noble, but never really had anything of my own. And I think it's just one of the best series I've been missing for a long time.
I would agree with that because, well, everybody should be reading this book. Anybody who's a fan of DC, anybody who's a fan of their history, has to be reading this book because it really is one of the best books they've been putting out regularly, you know, over the past, what is it now, 4 years now that there've been a JSA comic, or 5 years? I'm trying to remember
when they started. They started in 99 or something?
Yeah, whoa, something along those lines.
7 years,
so,
and, wow.
Yeah, eight, yeah. So, I mean, nine. It's been around for a while now, and it is consistently one of the best books that they put out. So I would definitely agree with that. I mean, Brent, were you happy with what turned out in 2?
I know it didn't sound like it, but I was really happy with 1 and 2. I haven't read any JSA trades, so this is my first exposure, really, to the team.
And it's a good exposure so far.
Yeah, it was awesome, frankly.
So as a new reader, you don't feel lost at all in their history?
Not really, because there's old Flash, old Green Lantern, and old Wildcat.
God, beat the dead horse, huh?
Why the hell not?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I don't... Seeing as they're old, I know there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
But everybody else seems young and new. You know, Damage is new. I know who Power Girl is, thanks to Infinite Crisis. Yeah. Mr. Terrific, he was in Infinite Crisis, so I had exposure to him. Damage is new, Liberty Bell is new, Mr. America's dead now, so, you know, don't worry about him anymore. Maxine Hunkel's new, no problems.
What made Jesse Bell change from Jesse Quick to Liberty Bell, though?
Jesse Quick actually lost her speed powers in a Flash arc.
Really?
I'd say it was about near the end of Geoff Johns's run. Wally needed extra speed, and Jesse offered her speed up to Wally. And in the process, it made her forget her magic word that gave her speed.
Oh, the formula. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's the formula that was passed on from her father, Johnny Quick. Mm-hmm. So that formula is lost to her. However, her mother is the original Liberty Bell.
Yeah.
So she pretty much just took up that mantle after being the museum curator of the JSA for a while. She wasn't a superhero for a while, and now she's back to being a superhero. And she had a beginning of a relationship with Hourman in the past. So obviously during 52, that relationship must have escalated to the point where they got married. So that explains pretty much what happened.
As I recall, wasn't she like part of the original JSA from like the 90s? The early 90s series?
You know, I think she might have been, but I'm not certain on that. I know she was in the Titans for a while.
Yeah. Great.
I'm not sure whether or not she was actually in the JSA from the 90s. I'll have to double check that. But she's definitely been in the family, though, because obviously, you know, with Johnny Quick and Liberty Bell, she's obviously got JSA ties.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense that she's there now as Liberty Bell. But speaking of family ties, I mean, that's how you basically start off with JSA number 2. You get the dialogue, the narration from what's eventually going to become Steel. And you get the story of, you know, how his family reunions are pretty much all the same. There's always one guy who's, you know, being centered around, and it's usually the star of the show, pretty much. Like, his grandfather was the original Commander Steel, and then there was his cousin who was the Steel that you know, lost his life in Justice League of America. And I forget, did Vibe die at the same time, or did he die later? Vibe and Steel, because I know that both of them ended up dead from that team, but I forget whether or not it was in the same incident. But he is one of the guys who lost his life from that Detroit Justice League of America team. And Now, here's this guy who obviously is in the lineage, was a star football player, and there was an accident. He tore a ligament, shattered the kneecap, and he's been in constant pain ever since. And it looks like he's pretty much addicted to the painkillers.
Well, and he's missing a leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the house of like the DC Universe.
Yeah, pretty much. And when you go from being a football player to not having one of your limbs, that'll mess you up.
And he's balding.
Yeah. Well, that's beyond the point. But just the fact that, I mean, you have your entire life ahead of you. You think you have it mapped out. You're going to be a star football player. And then you lose a limb. And you're just screwed.
And you start balding. That's the kick in the nuts.
Exactly. That's the kick in the nuts at the
end. Speaking of football, how about them Gators, huh?
Yeah. I don't follow NCAA that much.
Come
so.
On, that's we won.
That's not real football.
Well, good for you, sir.
We stomped and OSU's ass.
Watch out for those Gators when you're around the water. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh.
So is he going to be a steel peg leg?
No. There's going to be something else happening here. There's got to be some sort of major accident going on yet again. And I think we sort of see that later on in the book. But he's going to end up similar to how the last Steel was. Not the guy in the Superman suit. The other Steel.
Can you give him a different
name? Which still
kind
of confuses me. Yeah, I know. Why do people have to use the same name? That's always the problem.
He looks like a Captain America or something. He could be the new Mr. America.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh,
He's got a star in red, white, and blue and shit.
It could work. It could work, but I think they'll probably stick with the Commander Steel, actually. They'll probably put the Commander in front of it. So as opposed to just being Steel, he'll go back to being Commander Steel. But after we're done with him, we're on to the whole story between Wildcat and his son. I love the interaction between these two because, you know, this feels very genuine.
Wait.
You know, a kid who,
did I say you could have your show back?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah,
did you say
I could have my show back? Exactly.
Yeah. Ian, you can have your show back.
Thank you, Brent.
I'm a shitty host.
Thank you very much. Well, that was Brent Cassina. I thank him very much for joining us on the show. And anywho, going back to Wildcat and his son, it did feel pretty genuine. I mean, you know, this is the type of thing that happens when you are pretty much, you know, without a father. And he gets back in your life, and specifically when he's as famous as Wildcat is, I mean, you kind of become a bit jaded after a while, and he certainly seems that way.
Jaded.
Oh, God.
Jaded.
Wow. And here comes Aerosmith.
Yeah, and you're so jaded, because I'm the one who jaded you. What do you guys think of the actual correspondence between Wildcat and his son here? I mean, the son really seems like he could care less that his father is Wildcat, let alone that he has a father.
Well, his son has the same attitude that his dad did the last issue about, you know, being a father figure, and they pointed that out here. So, yeah. You know, they're exactly the same, basically.
Yeah.
They have a lot more in common than they think.
So he's looking in the mirror, basically.
Yeah.
I think it's one of Jeff Johns' better strong suits, the fact that he can, you know, just have, like, even with, like, this little dialogue and this page that we see here, you know, you just get the whole entire history, like, of both characters in just, like, two or three lines.
Hmm. No, that's definitely true, yeah. And, I mean, that's what I like. I mean, like we talked about in JSA number one, he put that whole, you know, picking process into two pages. Just like here, he can give so much backstory in, like, two word boxes. I would not expect to see his son end up in a Wildcat costume anytime soon. I would guarantee you that. I mean, if anything, he might end up, like, the museum curator or something, but this is not going to be a superhero anytime in the future.
He's the anti-Wildcat.
Exactly, yeah, because he's never gotten in a fight, basically. He's just has no interest whatsoever. It's like, oh, cool, you're in a JSA, you're my dad. That's awesome. You got any cigarettes?
Yeah, but why would they introduce him in a superhero book if he wasn't going to, you know, find his way or something?
Side character.
Supporting character.
Yeah, exactly, supporting cast. I mean, there are plenty of supporting casts that don't have to be superheroes, specifically in JSA. It's been the case in the past.
Well, we're starting fresh here.
We're starting fresh. Yeah, I guess you can put it that way. But speaking about starting fresh, nice way to christen the new headquarters by having, you know, somebody fall through the roof.
I christened the used.
Yeah. And that table is never I guarantee you that table gets thrown out in the next, like, 3 days.
Yeah, those things never come off that table.
Exactly, yeah. And kind of bad memories when you think about it. Because, welcome to the JSA. Does this happen often?
Can someone say IKEA? Rooms to go.
But, I mean, I'm kind of glad that he died, too. I mean, I'm never glad to see anybody die, but it would have been a real cop-out had somehow he lived with the giant beating that he got.
Nightwing. Sorry.
Yeah, No, you're 100% right about that. It still pisses me off that he even lived in the first place. That has story having to do with the monitors now and all that, but, you know, he was not going to be a member of the JSA. He wasn't on that cover, that Alex Ross cover, so I knew he wasn't going to be there. I mean, they gave him the entire issue last time around, basically, and that's how I pretty much knew, you're a dead man walking.
Red Johns pulled a red tornado.
Oh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Snap. Yo.
You broke the interweb again.
He has a tendency of doing that, but I like Starman in the background. Thou shall not kill. It's part of the code.
What code?
Yeah. He talks in riddles.
He obviously hasn't read the Punisher comics or met his buddy Adam Smasher.
Yeah, but just the fact that pretty much every single thing that he's saying, even though he is out of his mind, kind of makes sense, and he's probably hinting towards things that we're probably going to find out later on, you know? It's not part of the code. Might have something very well to do with, you know, the villains that we're going to get later on in this.
Like a Legion code or something?
Yeah, it's possible.
Actually, that was a big part of the Legion. They don't kill.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, you never know how that's going to happen. And obviously, they're a bit annoyed. Well, not exactly annoyed, but they're a bit, you know, shocked that he fell through their roof, which is probably a good thing, because if they were just like, he fell through the roof. Got any coffee? That wouldn't have exactly been very, very nice.
This is what I love about Dale Eaglesham's art. You know, everybody's doing something. Liberty Bell's looking at stuff. Our Man's looking at the roof. Power Girl's using her X-ray and telescopic vision already, you know, just to see if anybody's up there still. Of course, the dumb blondes and the redhead are still gawking at the dead guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stargirl, at least, is consoling.
Okay.
Yeah. Maxine Hunkel, which is a good thing, because obviously it's her first day. And this happens. I mean, come on. Think about, okay, let's say you start working at, like, a law firm or something like that. And on the first day, a disgruntled client comes in and shoots somebody. Are you going to be having a, you know, a good sense that this is going to be a great place to work?
Or my job.
Or like, you're on a first date with a girl, and it rains and ruins everything. And so then big date you have after that, it rains. No. What does that spell for you, that relationship?
See, you
Are
guys
you
don't know.
From experience,
yeah,
here?
Actually, my girlfriend now, it rained on her first date. It rained on the Valentine's Day after that. And every time we dress up to go somewhere, it rains.
Wow.
Every big date, it rains. So it's like tradition.
That's God crying.
Wambulance. you guys can bitch and moan about this, but I work at a toy store. Do you know how bad that is?
Oh, Lordy.
I worked
dude,
at a day
I feel
camp
your pain.
For little kids.
Yeah, so did I.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I think everybody has at one point.
Okay. Well, it's like,
but,
it's like
I feel your pain, Brad.
Yes.
I also like how you don't really see Obsidian in this, and
he's
yet
on the next
he's there.
He's like a shadow. He doesn't have any words. He's like whispering.
He reminds me of, what's it called? Shadow Thief a little bit.
Okay, yeah, no, I get you with that, but what happened to Obsidian to the point where, you know, he's like this? Because when he was in Manhunter, he seemed like a pretty talkative guy.
He's not in Manhunter anymore, right?
I know. I'm saying when he was in Manhunter.
Well, and then even in 52, when he goes mad about his sister. I think something happens in 52 to Obsidian.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually be surprised. Well, then again, I mean, he, like you mentioned, though, he was very taken aback by the death of his sister. So it could have actually, you know, like, left him in a state where he's kind of...
Mum's the word.
Afraid. Yeah, exactly. Mum's the word with him, so... But obviously, you know, they're worrying about what's going on, and all of a sudden, gravity goes haywire.
Oh, no. Before that, I liked Adam, or not Adam, I was going to say Adam Smasher, but Damage's comment.
Oh, yeah.
What does this guy expect? All he's got is a domino mask and a whip. that would be my comment if I was there.
I like it.
I know, I like that comment.
And I'm only pointing out the obvious, Jesse. Hey, why is everything floating? Yeah, I know. It's like, could this day get any worse? We're not on the ground. Crap.
Yeah, everything's in the air. Even the dead body and everything. And I love Dr. Midnight. He's like, you're contaminating a crime scene, Starman.
Yeah, that's right away what comes to his head, but he's that type of person.
But apparently Starman's causing this gravity shift, which I don't really understand.
He also gets a reverse Paragirl.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, and then he throws her back into the ground, like 10 feet.
Yeah.
So don't bear hug Starman.
Exactly. At the same time, he seems kind of in his right mind while this is going on, until the whole Wednesday I better go eat my lunch thing. So it definitely shows that there is something severely, like, messed up with his head, where he does have these sort of moments of clarity, and then absolutely nothing again.
I have a theory about that. I'll talk about that later on, though.
Okay.
Ken's new whore.
Yeah.
What is Ken's new... let's look that up.
Yeah. Actually, let me see.
Wikipedia.
Ken's new whore. Okay.
I did it before you.
We've got a Starboy of the Legion of Superheroes.
Shit, I got nothing.
I got nothing also.
How'd you do that?
It's called Google Foo, my friend.
Oh,
Google Foo.
I did. I'm not...
Wikipedia.
I did Wikipedia.
It's actually a Legion roll call website that has a lot on Starboy. And here we go. In 2966, Nura, who's actually Dream Girl in the Legion of Superheroes, rejected an adamant suitor named Ken's new whore, who, in a fit of jealousy, went after Starboy with the intent to kill him. Starboy was forced to kill the man in self-defense and to protect Dream Girl from the rogue's jealous rage. Although cleared by the science police, Starboy was put on trial by his comrades. Brainiac 5 prosecuted and Superboy acted as his defense attorney. It was a close vote, but Tom was found guilty 10-9 and expelled from the Legion. So, that explains pretty much every single thing he says up to what day is it. Ken's new whore, does that mean anything to you? Is that the name of murder? 10 votes to 9.
Yeah.
So, voila. It's all explained from a Adventure Comics number 342 from March 1966.
I swear, Jeff has been hanging out with Mark way too much.
I would agree with that. At this point, yeah. But, you know, he is that DC historian in many a way, so... Yeah, that explains it. So he pretty much just let us know that he is Starboy, so voila.
Yeah.
So I guess that mystery is pretty much solved, and it's solved later on as well. Once he turns off the anti-gravity, Power Girl kind of goes flying. And note to self, never be hugging Starman when gravity's going cuckoo. Or else you're kind of going to get screwed. I feel
gravity
bad.
Hurts.
Oh, yeah. And I feel bad for Wildcat at this point because, well, his gym's kind of trashed.
Yeah, he'll be pissed off.
To say the least, man. Jeez. His entire life is inside that gym, basically.
That's just like old people to get mad over nothing.
Oh. He never lets up, does he? But to go with what he's saying even more, Starman, do you hear her? She's crying. I wish she would stop crying. She said it's a doctor, a bad one, too. Not like my friends at Sunshine Sanitarium, but oh no, there's a storm coming, a lightning storm. What the hell?
Lightning lead?
Could be. That could certainly be, actually. Huh. Yeah. I mean, well, then again, who deals with lightning in the DC Universe? Other than, well, the Shazam family.
Black Lightning.
Could be Black Lightning. Or Black Adam?
Possibly. Or another villain.
Yeah. And specifically, I mean, obviously, World War III, a lot of stuff happened in that we haven't found out yet. So it's possible that, well, Black Adam survived it, and he could kind of be a bit peeved at the JSA. So you never know.
Yeah, a little.
Ever so slightly, yeah. So we go from that to immediately afterwards back with, you know, Wildcat and the family and all that. So the mother's dead. Which actually is not too much of a surprise, because it kind of makes sense as to why they, you know, let him know about the kid when they did. Obviously, he doesn't have a family right now, but kind of doesn't want one, which has been apparent. So I don't know. I mean, he seems to respect what Wildcat does, but he also makes it very clear he doesn't want him in his life.
He's so angsty.
Hmm. Brent, I mean, do you feel he's warranted here?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, his dad is a one-night stand dude, you know? He takes advantage of women and forgets about them, so I don't blame him.
Well, it doesn't even seem like it was him taking advantage. I mean, pretty much just one thing led to another.
Okay, well, one thing led to another, but he still didn't take responsibility for his actions. And he's a hero, you know? I mean, aren't heroes supposed to be better than that? If you're going to do it right, you know.
It depends on the ideal that you have for heroes, because obviously, you know, well, Wildcat isn't exactly that sort of guy, and never really has been. He doesn't really, like, hold up to the, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, that we like to think of when we think of superheroes. He's not that typical superhero, never really has been.
Yeah, he's more the blue-collar type of person.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, he's a guy. Stuff happens that you really can't take back. And obviously, this was just, you know, it was a one-night stand, a consensual one-night stand.
Well, a one-night stand means consensual, otherwise it's rape.
Well, duh, obviously. Hello, but... Well, I'm just making that clear here, the fact that both of them were in their right mind at the time, and one thing led to another. He didn't even know about the kid until now, so I feel for the guy. I really do.
Oops, I got you pregnant, and I have a kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also think about the fact that, I mean, she never told him, so obviously she didn't care about, you know, child support or anything like that. She just wanted to give the kid a normal life, and obviously that wouldn't happen if he found out, hey, guess what? Your father's Wildcat.
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
That's like emotional scarring right there.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. I mean, plus, he'd never be around. Even if he was involved with the kid, he would never be around. Because of all the JSA stuff he's doing, he's not going to give up being in the JSA or training people for a kid. He's not a family guy. He's actually more like the family guy, but... That reminds me of the time when... Yeah, right. But, yeah, so they have that whole thing also, like, my favorite quote in the next two pages is, hell, I haven't even been in a fight since the 8th grade. Did you win? No.
No. Eddie smiles.
I feel for the kid. I really do, because I'm that type of person. I've been in, like, 3 fights in my life, and I lost 2 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't been in any smarter than that.
Good. Good for you.
When I got into a fight, I did, like, that fat kid rage. You know, I got the whole arms motioning and, like, you know, the head charge.
The whole arms swinging back and forth. Like,
exactly.
Like, I'm going to swing my arms back and forth, and if I hit you, it's your own fault.
Pretty much. If I'm going down, I'm taking somebody with me, damn it.
Going down swinging.
Brandon is the Incredible Hulk.
Don't make me mad.
Smash. Brandon Smash, right? But we go back to Stargirl, obviously consoling Maxine. And, you know, I'm glad that Maxine has somebody her age there. Because if it was just her, it would be a lot harder to actually relate to anybody with this whole thing going on. Because also at this point, we don't even have Joaquim, which I'm a bit surprised that he's not there yet. I'm assuming he will be there eventually because he was on the cover to JSA number 1. So, but right now, Stargirl is the only person that is her age. It's the only person that she can relate to. And when you go through a traumatic experience like that, you got to talk to somebody. So at least she has somebody there to keep her from going like even more depressed than she used to be. Do you feel the interaction between these two is genuine? Like, as sincere as it should be?
Yeah, I mean, she takes her shopping, you know, basically. Make your own costume, which I love that one-page thing that they have. We're going to get you a costume. And she smiles and you can see her braces and everything.
Yeah.
I like the fact that she has braces,
yeah,
actually.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Makes you feel younger.
Oh, yeah. Well, and how often do you see a superhero with braces?
Never.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why, like, it's the little touches that always, you know, make me kind of happy. And specifically the fact that Geoff Johns created her. So, obviously, this was a touch that, you know, he thought of back in the day. And he's still consistent with her up until now. Like, all of a sudden, she just didn't, you know, magically end up without braces. I like that, and I'm glad that it's in there. And... I'd love to be able to pick my costume, man. If I ended up a superhero, I'm picking that out. I'm picking out, like, I'm sure it'll turn out to be the worst thing ever, but at least I get to pick it out.
Eating Levis, horrible fashion, like, man.
This is like the ultimate girl bonding moment. You know, they have all these different fabrics and shit, and they can just go, does this look good on me? Does this make my ass look fat? You know, all that different stuff that they want to do. It's like a
don't go there, girlfriend.
Don't girl bonding moment.
Oh, man.
The thing is, I always saw Courtney as a little bit of a flake, especially when watching the JLU cartoon. She always seemed like, not so much carefree, but like more all for me type of attitude. And I'm glad to see like that attitude is still not in the comic book.
Oh, yeah.
And you can really tell how much she's matured from when she first appeared in Stars and Stripes to now.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, she was a bit of a flake when she first came in. Specifically in those early issues of JSA.
Yeah.
I mean, she seemed like she didn't want to be there. She was sort of like, you know, just doing it to get back at her stepfather. And, you know, now she understands the heritage behind what she's doing. And she really, you know, respects it for what it is and actually is a true superhero at this point as opposed to just being somebody in tights, which is a plus, definitely. Yeah. You go on after that to, you know, the whole explanation of, you know, how Mr. America died. Big shock, he fell from a ceiling, but, you know.
He's also been beating to death.
Exactly,
bleeding to death before then.
Usually blood loss means death. I don't know that.
Well, and if you land on a marble table from any height, you're probably going to break something.
Oh, yeah. But what the important thing here is, though, my infrared vision is picking up an object lodged in his left lung.
Pacemaker.
Yeah, so. He fell through a window. It's glass.
I don't think so, though.
Well, yeah, obviously, because they said it, but, you know.
It's a pacemaker.
In his lung?
Yeah. Shut up.
Wow.
Oopsies.
It's a pacemaker for the lung. It's a brand new invention.
Oh, I have a
DC Comics.
It's the Iron Lung.
Does old Green Lantern have his eye back, or what?
No.
No.
No, he doesn't.
He stopped wearing the eye patch?
He's wearing a mask. Don't need it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but in 52 they had him wearing a mask and an eye patch.
That was a little redundant.
It depends. Sometimes he wears the mask and the eye patch, sometimes he just has a greenish eye, and sometimes they forget to draw it.
Okay, so it's like Adam Strange's eyes are sometimes white, and they're sometimes black or blind in 52. That bugs me.
Continuity error.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Look out. I don't think he's really thinking about his eye at this point, though. He's looking at the dead body of a guy he barely knew, who, you know, goes into the heritage of Mr. America. He's probably not thinking too much about appearance.
Well, no, I was just asking because they had a close-up on his face.
No. I understand that. And usually you do see at least a little bit of a green hue in the eyes. So it all depends on whether or not he's doing it. Because obviously, just like Green Lantern powers, like any Green Lantern powers, it's all about the will. So you got to will it into being. If he doesn't want it to be there, it's not going to be there. It works in very similar ways that way. And what's most important here, even more important than the fact that he's dead, is the fact that the Mr. America bloodline is gone. So obviously this is somebody who's looking to screw with the entire JSA and get rid of everybody so that there will never be anybody to replace them. That's kind of huge when you think about it.
So was Mr. America in the JSA then?
He wasn't, but his ancestors were.
Okay, so why didn't they say that? Why didn't they say that in this thing? Like, you know, to new reader, like, I had no clue. I still have no clue. You know, I have to go look that up. They should say, oh, it's the newest incarnation of Mr. America who is a member a while back or something, you know?
Mm.
To establish the fact to new readers, there was a Mr. America in the JSA at one point.
I hear you.
But is it, you know, what continuity is that and all that stuff?
Yeah.
But then, if they had established that, then the whole bloodline thing would have had more impact for new readers.
That's true, yeah. I mean, they could have at least had, like, a picture on the wall of a previous Mr. America when that first shot came in JSA number one.
Yeah.
You know, like have a, like, in the hallway maybe or something along those lines.
Or even be looking at him in one of the pictures or something.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, that would be great, but they just didn't seem to want to do that. But then again, I mean, what is important here, though, is the fact that a superhero bloodline's gone, and JSA's all about heritage. So obviously, it's sort of implied that he used to be in the JSA, or at least somebody used to be in the JSA called Mr. America, or else they wouldn't really be upset that you know, that the bloodline's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon, were you clear on that? I mean, did you have to wonder whether or not he was ever into JSA?
I didn't. That really didn't come up to me, though. I thought more of, like, they couldn't find a replacement for this Mr. America now, since the bloodline is gone. I think that's probably what their main concern was about, actually.
Well, no, not a replacement, but people to contact.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, it's,
you know,
like,
so-and-so dropped through our window. Hello.
It's more like, you know, when a soldier dies, they have someone to bring on the uniform and the flag to the family. It gives the person to, you know, an ability to say, you know, you can pick up where this person left off at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more what they were concerned about. Also about, you know, contacting the family as well. Because they're not all heartless bastards like, you know, Wildcat.
Sure, yeah. And I'm sure there probably is a distant relative out there that they could probably turn to. But obviously, it's not nearly as important as the fact that, you know, the wife is gone, the kids are gone, the grandfather's obviously long dead at this point.
Brother-in-law's gone.
Really? Yeah, exactly. And he didn't seem to have any, you know, brothers or sisters. At least that's what they're implying. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad to think about that. I mean, I'm an only child, so I can sort of relate to this. If I don't have a kid, well, there goes my entire family's bloodline, basically, you know, or at least, you know, my on this side of the family, which is, you know, kind of huge when you think about that.
No pressure.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, it makes even more sense when you're a superhero because, well, you've always got, like, if you've got kids, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, he's going to grow up someday and maybe he'll want to take over being Mr. America, you know? So my chances are there will be further generations where this will be passed on. So he doesn't have that luxury. His family doesn't have that luxury. The JSA doesn't have that luxury, knowing that their former friend is pretty much going to be forgotten because there's going to be nobody else to replace him.
Yeah.
That's kind of depressing.
Yeah, definitely.
Way to kill
Although,
the
then again...
yeah.
Oh, thank you, sir. But it wouldn't be the first time if they just find some random person who says, hey, can I be Mr. America? Okay.
Why, here, here's a costume. It's got a couple holes in it.
We can't get, oh, not that costume!
We can't get the red stains out, but, you know.
Oh. Oh, Lord, man.
Hey, what happened to OxyClean, Mr. America? Boom! Power of OxyClean!
It is kind of a cheesy name, though, when you think about it, though. Mr. America.
There he is. Mr. America.
Yeah, when I was searching for Mr. America, a lot of stuff came up on, like, a bodybuilding tournament called Mr. America.
Well, they have Miss America, so...
Yeah, so there has to be a Mr. America, too. But you go on past that to the house, yet again, going to his, you know, his family reunion. Excuse me, not house, soon to be Steel. I should have brought more painkillers. It's starting to hurt again. I mean, come on. I just watched House like 12 hours
Senior.
Ago. So I'm it's totally fresh in my mind right now, specifically with the plot line they've been doing in House lately. Also, kind of sucks when you're on crutches and somebody hits it with a football.
You can't kind of turn and stop yourself from falling.
Exactly. He just goes whack right into the tree, and you're like, oh, dude. Oh, man. You were in pain before. You're just embarrassed now.
Like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, literally.
And then you turn the
page.
That
is the line. Yeah, that's the line of the episode right there. Man, one-legged man in a... Oh. That's going to take me a minute. Oh, damn. But you could tell also that his family is upset with the way, like, his life has turned out. Well, not exactly upset over that.
They're concerned about him. You know, everyone's
exactly.
been asking where you've been.
Yeah.
You know, the kids have been asking for you. They want to hear some stories.
Yeah. And he doesn't feel like telling stories about, you know, what happened to him in the past. This is a man whose entire life is dead, basically. And he's looking for some sort of replacement for that, but can't really find it if you're not accepting the fact that you don't have a leg anymore, and it's not going to get back. But he's probably going to end up at Steel, so chances are he's probably going to have a leg again.
Chances are...
He could be the one-legged man of Steel.
Oh, lordy.
Commander, yeah. He could be Steel Peg Leg.
Steel Peg Leg? Mm.
Yeah.
You don't like Steel Peg, but he has a
yeah,
leg?
Yeah, I gotcha. I got
Sorry.
You. Yeah.
I tried
steel
that joke earlier.
The steel stump.
Steel stump.
Mr. Peg Leg.
Oh, jeez.
Peg Leg Pete.
Captain Steely Dan.
Oh, God.
Dude, 10 points for the Steely Dan reference right there,
I
man.
Try.
10 points. 10 points. But... All right, next page.
Oh, my God.
Hawkman's back. It's about damn
oh
time.
Oh, my God.
And he's pissed.
Loved this part. Just
oh,
out of nowhere,
man.
You had no clue it was coming. There was no,
oh,
like, shadow in the background on the last page. No mace flying out of nowhere on the previous panel. Just wham.
just all of a sudden crack.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, I love the coloring job on Hawkman.
Oh, yeah. His helmet looks like it's made of gold.
Yeah, definitely. And there's shine where it's supposed to be. I'm a huge fan of shine, specifically when it comes to like metal, because I hate it when you see the coloring on a metal and it's just dull.
So that's had that bling, huh?
Has he always had like these gauntlet things in this? Like, is his costume changed at all?
It's changed. Yeah,
it looks
it's definitely
a little
changed.
More like the Thanagar. Yeah, Rand Thanagar war costume a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is more like his war costume.
Okay.
Like he's got like different like he's got like a battle.
Because his boots, look different.
No, the boots are definitely different. Yeah. But am I gonna have to pick up JSA Classified to find out what happened to Hawkman?
I hope not.
Okay, because I saw him on the cover of JSA Classified, and I don't think I picked it up, and I kind of don't want to.
I was hoping they'd bring like him back in here.
Yeah, I know. But well, he's back in here.
Well, obviously.
The thing is, I don't know where the hell he's been, and I don't know whether or not I'm even gonna get that in the Hawkman comic because it's Hawkgirl at the moment. So. I want to at least find out somewhere, you know? But if I have to pick up JSA Classified, I'll do it. But it would have been nice for them to actually... Well, hopefully next issue we'll get more of the backstory of where he's been. Because if they just throw him in there, it's going to be kind of weird. Like, oh, hey, you're back. Awesome.
Welcome back.
You want in? You want in? We left you a chair. It's not really your chair. It was going to be for Mr. America, but he's kind of dead.
God.
I had to go
this
that route.
This chair's all bloody. Why is it? Power Girl. Oh, Mr. America.
It's that time of the month, kid.
I
left it open and you just had to close the door, didn't you?
Hey, I wasn't raised in a barn. You gotta close the door.
You know, every now and then there's a stinker. Every now and then there's a stinker.
Literally.
And that was just terrible. Oh, but we're on to, you know, right after that huge action scene, that last one page, you're on to Hawkman telling everybody to get out of there. And, yeah, that kid we saw before is probably not too good right
he's
about now.
He's turned to steel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's cold as ice. Mm-hmm.
It was cold as ice.
Willing to sacrifice.
Willing to sacrifice my love.
This is not the American Idol podcast. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's gonna stop.
Frank Cassino, ladies and gentlemen, he's on.
Never take advice.
All right, Brent. Come on, man.
I gotta say though, like, I do like that costume design for these the new villains here.
They're not new. They're Kingdom Come villains. That was my
really.
That's my theory.
Really?
Because they're called the Fourth Reich.
Oh, the ones that in the prison, right?
They're like in the Kingdom Come. They're like one of the new heroes or whatever, or like new villains.
Oh, yeah.
But what set me off was the guy with the Nazi swastika on his chest. Looked really familiar. And then I was thinking about our past threads. You know, Kingdom Come Superman and the revelation with Starman coming up. I think they're Kingdom Come villains. And especially the shiny guy set something off for me, too. But specifically
this is from the actual Kingdom Come, right? This is from Kingdom Come, not the Kingdom?
Yeah, Kingdom Come.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, just wanted to make sure on that.
I couldn't find a page on the internet with a picture or anything, but I'm pretty sure, go look through your Kingdom Come. You'll definitely find the swastika guy, because I know I saw him. The others I'm not so sure, but the swastika guy, for sure, Kingdom Come villain.
I think I know exactly what scene, though. I think they're, like, in a massive prison... Riot,
well, it's either the massive prison scene or like where they're fighting in the streets.
That was like right after Superman Returns.
It was like a big page spread, I think. Yeah.
My thing is though, what's with all the Hypertime references now?
Hypertime.
Yeah. Well, what? I think they're actually going to bring in Hypertime and make it work.
Well, so you've had Hypertime in 52 now, right? Now you have Hypertime with the mentioning of Kingdom Come, and then you have the Hypertime with Starman as Tom Calor. So, I mean, obviously something's going on.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And at the same time, I'm kind of glad, because I was a fan of Hypertime back in the day, and they just kind of ignored it after those, like, first two or three storylines they used it. So, I mean, it's just sitting there, and you gotta use something that is actually a decent concept if done right. So, we finally get more Hypertime. I'm happy about that. I mean, I don't know about you guys.
I love Hypertime.
So you, I'm assuming you read the Superboy thing back in the day?
Which one was that? Before
the Hypertime arc where he went through all the different realities.
Yeah, towards the end of the series? Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite Superboy arcs right there. Because, you know, he got to meet the Robin Superboy and, like, the actual, you know, young Superman Superboy and the works, basically. So That was good times.
I miss Superboy.
Yeah. Brent, were you a fan of Hyper Time? Do you even know what it is?
I know what it is, but I've never read The Kingdom or anything like that.
So, but you know the basic idea of it, right?
I think.
Okay.
Everything happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much the way it goes. All those Elseworlds and stuff, they're actual realities. They're out there. So Kingdom Come exists. All these alternate futures exist. All these current timelines that, you know, don't match up with anything exist. So that's what's going on over there.
Lunch is, I thought of a little side note, though. If you go back into, like, the back of the book of Kingdom Come, and it tells you, like, of who Alex Ross models certain people after, look at who he modeled Captain Marvel after.
Huh. Okay.
Sal have an auntie.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's an Uncle Sal. Fact.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's a young-looking Uncle Sal, though. If you find the picture that he used for modeling in the mythology book for Alex Ross, they have a picture of Uncle Sal in the costume, and he looks really young and skinny.
Oh, wow.
Pretty nicely, huh?
Yeah. Not the Uncle Sal we know.
That's the less jaded, less fat Uncle Sal.
Oh.
Wait, dare I say young Uncle Sal?
There you go. So back when he was just nephew Sal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Cousin Sal.
You're just plain Sal.
Yeah. All right. I like your theory, because, no, I do actually remember those villains. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a giant pain in the ass actually finding the specific.
But they were just they were kind of like throwaway in Kingdom Come, you know? They're one of the newer ones with everyone else.
Yeah. And I like that like whole Flash motif going on with that one girl.
SS Woman?
Yeah, SS Woman. Or whatever the hell her actual name is. Is that right? That's okay, Reichsmark, I'm assuming, is the silver guy, right? Okay, all right. So, yeah. I mean, she basically looks like a really, really evil female Flash. So I'm assuming she has speed powers, because that would make a lot of sense with her costume.
Hmm.
If she doesn't, I will be very shocked. Yeah.
Interesting.
Both his son and daughter were introduced in the kingdom. Well, Wally's son and daughter. So I'm wondering what her actual relation is to the Flash family, if she is indeed a member of the Flash family. But the rest of the dudes look like they could just be random villains, but she looks like she might actually have a tie, so who knows. And you got, right after that, the big reveal. It's coming, isn't it? What is Starman? The Great Disaster. What the hell is the Great Disaster going to be? Any ideas, folks? Any ideas you want to throw out there? Because I have my theory, so I'd like to, you know, see whether or not that you guys actually like have anything.
I yield to you.
Okay. All right. My idea for the Great Disaster is pretty much the Hypertime universe is converging.
Ooh.
Similar to a Crisis type thing, only on a lesser scale, where they have to pretty much stop the Hypertime universes into converging, because as was mentioned back in the early days of Hypertime, if you stay in a Hypertime too long, then the universes start to collapse. And obviously these villains are not from around here. So if they stick around, then they're probably going to muck things up. So that could very well be what the Great Disaster is.
Hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. And that could actually explain why Kal-El is popping out of his grave.
And also,
because that's what Hypertime does. It you know, messes with continuity. Also,
that also makes it with Legion as well now, the current reboot of Legion.
That's true. Yeah, that does actually. And I wouldn't be surprised if that ties in some way, because obviously Mark Waid and Geoff Johns are talking to each other. So you never know. No, in all seriousness, though, that could explain everything if it had something to do with Hypertime like that, because Kal-El popping out of the grave out of nowhere, that works. Because I'm sure in an alternate reality out there, Infinite Crisis turned out differently.
No, I just had a thought, though.
What's up?
About offhand, how many different titles were there for Elseworld?
Elseworld? Yeah. Oh, like hundreds? I'd say there were at least 100, possibly maybe 200. Are you thinking that they're all converging?
Yeah, and also that could be coming into a massive play factor into 52.
Ooh.
52 Elseworlds?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
Oh,
I'm so pissed that we don't know what 52 is yet.
Oh, I'm beyond pissed.
I thought they would have at least introduced it.
Well, I mean, I like the original theory that 52 seconds are missing. But it's looking less and less like that, because obviously 52 has to be something big for there to be so many contracts out for all these guys in space. You know, like they saw something they weren't supposed to see.
I mean, and
so,
Mark, I mean, Wade's been saying since, like, what, Comic-Con, that 52's been around for a long time, and it's been there since well before 52.
So, I mean, whatever it's going to be. And if that's the case, it could have something to do with Hypertime, actually. Because if it has been around forever, Hypertime has been around since the early 90s. So, who knows what's going to happen with that. But after the whole thing, you know, obviously, you've got Mr. Terrific there at the computer, and you've got Starman looking over the equations and stuff. I have to find her and him and her. She's talking to me, and he doesn't know, and I have to find them all before the storm. Again, with the whole storm thing, but who the hell is he looking for?
Him and her.
Dawnstar's got to be
well,
one.
Well, he could also be looking for a dream girl.
All right, so we've got two, and the other him, Lightning Lad.
Lightning Lad or New Whore.
New Whore. New Whore.
New Whore. Nahor. Nahor, whatever the hell's in it.
Nahor.
Nahor.
Yeah.
Nahor, whatever.
You say potato, I say potato. Ken's New Whore.
I had it right.
Ken's, yeah, you're right, you're right. I just really like making fun of New Whore.
Hey, it's New Whore. What?
It's New Whore, yeah. Yeah, New Whore. That's why you gotta say the Ken's ahead of time, or else it really sounds like you're making fun of somebody.
That's the worst name ever. Like, what's your name? Ken New Whore. What?
Dude, I had a friend in junior high whose name was Anita Moore.
Oh, jeez. I thought I had a bad name. God.
Anita Moore. I rest my case.
It's like naming yourself Richard Head. You know, name's Dickhead.
Dickhead. God. I'm dead. Oh, my God. Wow. Congratulations, Brent. You can take over the show because I'm dead.
Yes.
Brent, our plan worked, Brent.
Thank you.
Oh, man. But this is great, too. I don't know if anyone is. Oh, yeah. Find who's talking to you. I don't know if anyone is, Michael. You've got Mr. Terrific and Power Girl, and immediately afterwards, you might be right, Power Girl. Ha ha. Wouldn't that be a joke? Ah. This dude is so wacko.
But he's smart.
Yeah, I know.
What's wrong there? You know, he has to cross something out.
Well, it's not really smart. He's displaced from time, so he knows more stuff than we do.
That's true, yeah. And also, specifically, that was involving super string, dark matter, and hyperspace.
Ooh.
So that leads towards hypertime even more.
Some scientists believe gravity's a weak signal from a parallel universe. I think Starman just proved them right. There you have it. Mm-hmm. Hypertime.
Ooh. Hypertime.
Parallel universe.
There you go.
And he's from...
Dun, 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 dun.
Looks like trapped someplace that was blown to Kingdom Come.
Uh-huh.
And there's a big Alex Ross painting behind him.
Yeah, with a whole bunch of the Kingdom Come heroes and villains from the looks of things. So, damn. That's all I gotta say. That last page there... made the entire comic for me. Also.
Yeah, me too. So he is.
God, yes.
People were saying, like, who is he? You know, is he the Kingdom Come Starman? And yes, he is.
Yeah, but now not only that, but now we start to think that the Kingdom Come Starman isn't even originally from Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
No.
So how long has Alex Ross been thinking about this?
Oh, God.
10 years.
Alex Ross just blew my mind.
Yeah. I know, because right away you think, because it's Alex Ross, he could have thought of it 10 years ago, or he could have thought about it 2 days ago. You know? I mean, it could have just been a random thing like, hey, what if the Starman that I had in my Kingdom Come, you know, wasn't really the Starman from there? Brilliant!
Again, this is brilliant!
Because it totally works with the story here. So, I mean, whether or not he's introducing it now, whether or not he's been thinking about it for ages, it's a damn good reveal that works really well for JSA. It gives me even more reason to read the next one. Like, I needed a reason in the first place.
I know. But I think this plays in a little bit like into my theory. Well, I think I know why Tom's so crazy, though. Because he's living in... Have you been reading Legion, the three-boot?
Yeah.
All right, you know, pretty much apparition of that three-boot? You know how she's in both worlds at one time?
Yeah.
That's what I think Tom is sort of like right now.
Oh. I gotcha.
Who's Tom?
Tom Keeler.
That's who this is.
Starman.
Starman, Tom.
Tom.
That's his name.
How do you know? He didn't tell us his name.
Tom Cower is Starboy, so.
But this Tom. Is Starman.
Yes.
Same person. He grew up.
Same person. He grew up in Legion of Superheroes days.
Wait, you're saying the Star Boy whose enemy was Ken's New Whore?
Yes.
Grew up, became Star Man, went to Kingdom Come, and is now in our universe?
Yes.
Skippy.
And the same, the whole 9-1 vote, 9-10 vote? That was all part of Tom Keeler's original backstory also.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all starting to make sense here. I mean, once you put everything together like that, there's no way in hell this is anybody else at this point.
So, spoilers, we just figured it out.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that anybody who did a search for Ken's new whore figured it out, too, because it was the first listing on there.
Yeah. But my thing is, though, with Legion now, the new Starboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now with Supergirl appearing in there, I think it's starting to make a little bit more sense why that Starboy is completely different.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I think you might be right there. I think you might be right there. So that Legion, I'm thinking that that Legion might actually be a Legion from another Hypertime. The Legion that we're reading right now in Mark Waid's run, because obviously Mark Waid freaking created the idea in the first place.
Right.
So it would make sense for him to be introducing that concept in his, you know, in his book that he's doing right now. And everything's connected in the DC universe. Whether your book's taking place in the year 3000 or whether it's taking place today, everything is connected.
Right, and now and now throwing Supergirl and what happens to the universe. It starts going a little crazy, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Everything she wants happens.
Happens.
And
my favorite part though is that this is so obviously Supergirl pre 1 year later.
Yeah, because
so this is Supergirl even like at the beginning of 52.
Really? So you're saying she got displaced that early?
I'm saying she got displaced after the funeral. After the funeral in 52 number one.
Okay, of Connor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After Connor's funeral, because she was there for that, if I remember correctly. She was definitely there for that. Somewhere after that, in like maybe like week two or week three, she got displaced in time, in hyper time, and ended up where she is.
But my thing is, though, wasn't she with the Space Heroes as well?
She was, but that was after, she was obviously, she came back after that, though.
Yeah, but let's think of this, though. She was in space with the heroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she magically appeared in Kandor, right?
Yeah.
Then she's also in the 31st century, correct?
Yeah.
My thing is, though, what if Hypertime kind of refracted around Supergirl, around Kara Zor-El?
Okay.
With her introduction to the universe, that was kind of the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when the crisis happened, she was tossed in the same place everyone else was, but unlike them, she returned not only earlier, but in three separate places at once.
Huh. Ooh. I'm liking that idea. I am liking that theory. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it. I mean, it's complicated, but, you know, nothing's easy in the DC universe.
God,
So I would not be... Oh, yeah. That is making more and more sense in my head right now. I hope you're with us here, Brent. I mean, I hope you sort of get that a little bit. But.
Barely. I'll get it when I listen to it.
Okay. Pretty much, Supergirl is split into three places at once after Infinite Crisis.
Okay.
That's what Brent is going with right now. The idea.
And right now, Mark Waid is sending ninjas to kill us all.
Although, and it does actually explain why the hell her personality is so different, specifically in her own book.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a fraction of her personality.
Wait a second. Wasn't she originally split into two beings by, I think, Black or White Kryptonite?
Yeah, but that was, like, one incredibly bitch evil Supergirl that you know, God only knows what happened to her.
Yeah, but perhaps they never merged again.
Did they get merged again, Brent? Do you know?
Yeah, I read that story.
Okay. All right. So they did get merged again. Okay. They could get split again.
No, but you're right. She was really evil.
Yeah, and she had a black costume. So
yeah, uber hot.
Black obviously means evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No. 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 No.
Good monkey.
Wrong.
Good monkey. Good monkey. Bad monkey.
But if you do split her into three, it explains why the hell she's been acting like a giant slut whore in her book. And she's all Ms. Nice in Legion.
And
you know,
that's only Flame two.
Bird. And Flamebird.
That's two, and then there's Flamebird.
That's
Although, wait a minute,
still
no.
the same girl. And
it is
Supergirl.
The same girl. Okay, but then split into two as opposed to split into three.
Yeah.
Then. Split into two, not three. There we go, two. Let's make it two.
Two. Definitely two.
One in Legion of Superheroes time, one here. That's what I'll go with. Because, yeah, no, you're right. Two makes more sense than three.
Yeah.
So we'll go with two. We said two the entire time. I have no idea where you got the idea that we were talking about three people, Brent.
Retcon.
52! 52! Do you see my shirt? It's a clue!
Grodd is my co-pilot. As God is my witness, I will never be hungry again.
Ambush Bug needs his own series again. Oh, I would love that. That would kick so much ass.
Moving back to
put him on the JSA. Even Starboy would get along really, really well. Starman and Ambush Bug in the same book. Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
God, it's like Deadpool Cable. Jeez.
Oh, lordy. Yeah, but honestly, once this issue's done, we've got Maxine Hunkel on the cover of the next one, so that doesn't really give us an idea of what's happening next, but Nazis, we hate those guys. That's the tagline to get to the next one. So I'm assuming this is far from the last we've seen of the Magical Kingdom come Nazis.
And I say, Maxine Hunkel, hubba hubba hubba.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm underage.
She's actually not. She's in college.
Smart guy.
Stargirl's underage.
Yeah, Stargirl's underage and has braces.
Yes.
Yeah. Maxine Hunkel, you know, she has some problems, but she's good.
But she's a redhead. It balances out. You know what they say?
Maxine Hunkel's one of those girls you don't want to date because she's messed up in the head.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
You wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
That makes things interesting.
If you knew her.
Come on. Red in the head. Crazy in bed. I got to... Come on.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, fool me, don't get fooled again.
Is that Night at the Museum?
That's George W. Bush.
Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Well, Night at the Museum George has a similar Bush. Thing.
Yeah. And George W. Bush.
W. Good to kill W.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the end of this issue, obviously, you know, it just makes me want the next issue even more. But with the theories that we've got with the whole hypertime thing, Brent, you got any ideas of what's happening in the future here or anything different than what we said?
I think Kingdom Come is all tied into each other. Or tied into the Legion. Tied into Kal-El rising from the grave, tied into Kingdom Come Superman, especially now that Starman's from Kingdom Come, and we saw the Kingdom Come villains.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Going back to that last page of issue one, mm-hmm. you know, of the first panel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
The JLA-JSA crossover?
Yeah, I don't really think that's... I think the JLA will actually play a little bit into this also, I think.
Maybe. Maybe it's 12-issue okay. timeline.
Ooh,
it's possible. Mm. Certainly possible. Although although Johns has hinted that there's going to be at least two story arcs, so possibly you know one that goes from 1 to 6, and then one that goes from 7 to 12. So that's what I'm thinking.
Ready for the trade.
He's not one to he's not really one to go into the whole 12-issue story arc.
No, but lately he's been doing 4-issue story arc in Green Lantern
that's
and
true.
Teen Titans.
Yeah. Okay, so you think that this one's only going to be 4, or
well,
do you think it'll be 12?
Based on his record, I think it'll be two 4-issue story arcs tied together.
Mm. Okay.
So it'll be 4 issues with Mr. America, and then JLA JSA for 2 issues, and then 4 for the Kingdom Come stuff.
Hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, at this point... I mean, did this issue reveal anything more to the whole, you know, those last page, you know, those last pages than you think it should have? Or do you feel that it's given us, you know, still enough of a mystery as to what's going on? Because obviously, you know, we have our own theories, but it didn't really give us concrete evidence towards anything that was in those last pages.
I think it's more like a what the hell type of thing, you know, like how does this all pan together? How, like, you know... I think someone said before that John's like the mash of like weaving storylines. I think Brent, I think you said that before. Like, you know, John's just weaved so many different storylines in the one story, and he can take pieces from each one and then just blow your mind on how he brings them all together.
Well, he's always been good at that. I mean, specifically, I mean, come on, all you got to do is look at Infinite Crisis.
And
I mean, there were about 12 different storylines going on in that.
And I think what Jeff is doing now is giving us enough rope to hang ourselves and say, hey, we got theories. I think we're right, and he'll probably just come out of left field and just blow us all away.
Yeah, I think Supernova is totally... Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Never mind. You
have to cut that out. Spoilers. You didn't say spoiler.
I still think that he might actually be Carter Hall.
Ooh.
And I've been hinting towards that lately. I know I'm going to be wrong. I guarantee you I'm going to be wrong. But I've been hinting towards that a lot more lately. Specifically with the fact that, you know, he can get a lot of tech pretty easily. But, yeah, what are you going to do? I'm sure it'll...
Isaiah Reed Palmer.
Yeah? Oh. Hmm.
Ooh. Ooh, interesting.
that works. I guess that works. But it could be, what's his face? Oh, yeah, Booster Gold.
Whoever he is, he's familiar with Rip Hunter. Like, they're acting like best friends or something.
Spoilers!
In the last issue.
That doesn't really reveal too much, actually. But oh, wait, yes, it does.
Yeah.
You know what I might do? I might just actually just scream the word SPOILERS
over it. Scream it over what I said.
SPOILERS!
DC Universe spoilers.
La 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 la. SPOILERS!
I'm not listening.
SPOILERS dead! SPOILERS!
I miss spoiler.
She was cool.
Moment of silence, please. Okay, that's enough.
Okay, that's
enough. She's a dumb costume.
Hey. Not many people can rock the purple and the bandolier. That's pretty cool.
That's true. And she did manage to do that somehow.
With the buccaneer boots.
Yeah, but does JSA go to even farther to the top of your stack after this issue?
God, yes.
Yes.
Hell yeah. It's 52 and then it's JSA, pretty much, when it comes out. And then when 52 is done, all right, JSA is top. And then maybe if Marvel decides to release Civil War, I'll read it.
You know, Wildcats comes out,
Oh, yeah. And then All-Star Batman,
Ultimate Hulk.
Goes to the bottom of the stack and not use it as toilet paper.
Ultimate Hulk.
And we're back to basics here on Copy Timing.
Ultimate 2 also.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, excuse me, I must make a laugh. No, I'm not going to make a laugh of reference. No, that's
oh,
just wrong,
oh, come but... on.
Dude, I don't want to be known as the anti-Liefeld, all right?
Okay, I must admit, though, I was at Barnes & Noble when I saw Heroes Reborn, the Avengers, and I must say, my God, it was Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld art put together.
Yeah.
Could you ever imagine, like, the horrors that happened when you merged, like, that?
It's I like, want to get those.
It's like two rednecks making love, then, like, they have their kid, and it's just... You want to feel sorry for you, but you know you really don't.
So it's pretty much taking a star quarterback and merging him with the janitor.
Ooh.
Hey, I want to get those.
They're good reads, yeah, but it's just...
Well, yeah, no, they're perfectly good reads if you like Captain America with double Ds.
And the giant A in his forehead for asshole.
Oh, and just okay. You know what? This will be my Liefeld moment. Okay, this is it. This is my Liefeld moment. Not ragging on him whatsoever, but there was posted recently on Scans Daily on LiveJournal. There was a shot that he did of Spider-Man where he has very noticeable ass cheeks. I'm not used to seeing Spider-Man's ass so very, very detailed.
Not since the years of what's his name?
He had a spider wedgie.
It's probably because of the spider thong he wears on his costume.
Spider thong, does whatever a spider thong.
Spider thong.
This episode is officially gone to hell, but yeah, I guess you could sort of read that. We really, really like JSA number 2, and other than that, we're all fucking crazy.
I gotta say though, like Dale Eaglesham art, I would marry one of his pages if I could.
Agreed. And this is I liked his stuff on Villains United. This is leaps and bounds.
Oh yeah, I was just about to say
leaps and bounds.
His Green Lantern, I think it's like this stuff, his stuff on Green Lantern. And then Villains United.
God, his GL stuff was great.
Yeah. His Villains United felt like a step down. I don't know whether it was like the inking or coloring or what.
I think it was really heavily inked for Villains United.
Yeah. It just ruined it, I think.
Well, that was to give it a villainous feel, obviously. I mean, yeah. No, in all seriousness, though, I mean, you know, that book has to have more shadows. It has to have more of a, you know, say, like a spy action thing going on.
Dale Eaglesham's not like a shadows kind of guy, you know? All of his figures are really clean, unless they're standing in the shadows.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
If not only is he standing in the shadows, he is the shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Obsidian knows.
Not that shadow. The other shadow, the one that follows
the white
him.
Shadow?
No, that's the white shadow. That's not him.
All
No, Moon Knight.
Oh, Khonshu. Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, totally. Wow, we are totally in, like, the depths of comic book hell right now.
It's like the trifecta right here. Excelsior. Oh. My geekdom is more powerful than yours.
Well, you see, if you go ahead and you read issue 47 of Amazing Spider-Man and you compare it to issue 437, I find an interesting conclusion that the art on that is very similar, and I feel that they've been off of each other in many a way.
Wow, you were tormented as a kid, weren't you?
No, thank God I never sounded like that. Thank God.
I'll leave it to you two guys for funny voices this time.
Aww.
Let's get the Ramboni.
The Ramboni. That's great. All right, well, at this point, I think it's about damn time I announced the winner of the Comic Timing Contest.
Thermal.
Considering, yeah. That was terrible.
You're supposed to announce it at the end.
Yeah, well, this is almost the end. We're getting there.
You kind of sputtered
up. I'm going to announce it right now. I'm going to announce it right now because I am that type of person. So here we go. All right, it was a tough decision here because there were a lot, and I mean a lot, of great suggestions here. And just because you didn't win the main prize does not mean I'm not going to ask you on the show, because it's definitely a possibility that we're going to use one of your ideas in the future. So I just want to let you guys know that everything that's been submitted has been fantastic and much better than I thought it was going to be submission-wise. I thought I was going to get like two submissions, but I got 12, which is really, really awesome. So I want to thank everybody for actually doing their submissions. However, one stood on top of the others. And I'm talking specifically about the submission by Titans Together. Near the end of the contest, the religion in comics, which sounds like it would be a damn good topic to actually talk about. And he sent a website also, which really gave me more of an idea of what he wanted to do. So congratulations to Titans Together. You are the winner of the Comic Timing Contest for Suggest a Topic. It'll be religion in comics. So you're going to receive the Sin City Volume 1 trade paperback and a John Cassaday poster of Captain America. So congrats, buddy, and hope to have you on a show sometime soon to actually discuss that, because that's part of the prize, too. You get to be on. So woohoo! Yay! Woo! Yay!
And of course, this is Captain America post the Double D surgery, right?
Yeah.
It's not that much of a prize, let me tell you. Been on many times.
Look, oh, Brent, don't be a sport. Don't be a sore loser.
You're a regular. You don't count.
Exactly.
Yeah. My topic sucked.
Oh, that's not true. Yeah, that's not true.
I didn't put any thought into it. Ian should watch Smallville.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Oh, Lana, I love you. Oh, Clark, I hate you. Oh, Lana, I love you. Oh, Clark, I hate you. Lex, kiss me. I want your babies. Oh, God.
Or better yet, I've gotten into the Battlestar Galactica lately, so I've learned how to watch Battlestar Galactica. Expect a lot of this. Talk. Action. Talk. Action. I like it. It's damn good, but dear God, is there a lot of talking.
But it's Edward James Olmos. You can't hate that, though.
In low budget sci-fi channel.
Try no budget.
Farscape. All right.
Action.
Yeah, exactly. But no, a lot of suggestions were really good. And actually, specifically, I'm going to name a few right now that were really, really awesome. And we'll probably end up on the show sometime soon. Beastbone had a really great one about pitching your dream animated project for Marvel.
Ooh.
So I'm really considering doing that in the future. Just Bill had Good Comics Gone Bad, an in-depth look at titles that have gone from being critically acclaimed to lining your kitty litter box.
Yeah, but then that would be the good podcast Civil Gone War. Bad.
Yeah, right. But no, that's what I'm definitely going to suggest doing in the future. And also, H.007 had a really good one about how what comics are going to be like 20 years in the future. So I want to definitely get to that at one point, and a whole bunch of other ones. So again, thanks for the submissions to everybody. Everything was greatly appreciated, and you're all in consideration to be on the show sometime soon. And upcoming shows will include, by popular demand, Wizard, what the hell happened to you?
Crapper.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the rise and fall of Wizard Magazine, how it's gone into the shitter over the past couple of years.
The life and death of Captain Wizard?
Yeah, whether or not there can be a survival for Wizard in the next couple of years, or whether or not it's doomed to fail. So that'll be in the upcoming episodes. And also, we'll have one on whether or not we should have the movie writers writing as many comics as there currently are.
I smell Flash.
So, yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to defend the Flash for a little bit, though. I liked this arc, actually.
Ugh.
So a little bit of spoiler here, but, you know, it pretty much revolved that Bart is the Speed Force. And I like that concept a lot, because now you can draw on abilities and thoughts and, you know, previous, like, actions which happened to other Flashes, you know, when he goes into battle. Granted, it was...
I like that, but also worst villain ever.
Yeah, granted, the villain was kind of terrible. When I say kind of, I mean really terrible. But other than that, actually, it was a good arc, and I liked the new direction the Flash is going in.
Hey, Brandon, I have a Brooklyn Bridge for you to buy if you're interested.
I want some Spotlight in the Forest, actually.
Did you read number 7 last week?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't. Yay!
You saved yourself 3 bucks. Very good.
Oh, but that could be next on the comic books that suck, which is also coming up, actually. I want to have at least one person on who really, really enjoyed the issue, because I'm going to tear this to shreds. Civil War Frontline number 10. Penance.
I enjoy.
Enough said.
I'll be on.
Yeah, you'll probably be on that one, buddy, to give your idea on why you think it was so damn awesome, because I think it was terrible!
I know. There was someone on the forum who thought this book was amazing, and it wasn't you, BK, it was someone else. And they're like, they said, this is the most logical conclusion for this character. I'm like, no, no.
Well, see, I really never wanted to see a Speedball that sits in his room listening to Iron Maiden.
No, it's The Cure, get it right.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, The Cure. That's...
It's emo Speedball, seriously.
I actually posted that in my post, that he sits around listening to The Cure, so I'm glad you actually corrected me on that. But, oh, dear God.
But he's wearing an Iron Maiden. That's what he should have been, Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Iron
Maiden. So we got... No, see, that's great, because one of the spikes cut off his penis.
So it's Iron Maiden Man.
He's the new Iron Man.
Oh. Talk about balls of steel. Jeez.
Oh, jeez. All he has to do is cut them off of the guy who just got turned to steel in jail.
No, his costume looks like it was out of the Rollerball movie.
Which one?
No, actually, okay, who here has played Soul Calibur 2?
Voldo.
Me.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Thank you.
Stolen Voldo.
The minute I saw it, I was
Alien
like,
Voldo.
What the hell is Voldo doing on the cover to Civil War Frontline number 10?
Oh, do you think he can roll into, like, a wheel like Voldo can?
Yes, actually. Not only that, but he also has the ability to mangle himself to activate his powers. Are you kidding me? All right, I'll save this for later, but yeah. What were we going to say, Brent?
S&M Speedball.
Oh, yeah, great.
Gimp suit.
Great.
But it's what it is.
It actually reminds me of the Moral Oral I watched this past week, but... Oh, God, but let's get into some of the comments from the last episode, episode 29, before we wrap this one up. First of all, Comic Noob Dyer has something to say. I think that was the worst funny voice I have ever heard. So, immediately, Brent, you must respond in your funny voice.
Hey, I like my funny voices. You try doing funny voices when you're cracking up at the same time. And I knew it would come out about 2 hours. Huzzah!
Thank you very much. Bullwinkle Team Moose, ladies and gentlemen. You can find him on Rocky and Bullwinkle. The Rocky and Bullwinkle podcast just started. So if you want to head over to www.heyrock.com.
Also found on the same spot as Bill's comic long box.
It's short.
Exactly.
It's short bus BK. That's what it is.
Matt Damon.
Oh.
At least I have a real last name.
Oh, my grandkids, ouch.
Oh, I thought he was talking about me. I mean, what, Levinstein is kind of bad,
no,
but...
You have a last name. I have a first name for a last name.
That's true. And by the way, Esteban89 responded with, did I bring Huzzah back yesterday on the Google Fight thread? I hope so. Huzzah!
And such.
Huzzah! Actually, I want a character, just like, you know, Shazam says Shazam to activate his powers. I want somebody to activate his powers with huzzah!
I was thinking about writing, like, a Dial H for Hero type of thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like a redo of Dial H for Hero.
Dial H for Zah.
Yes.
That's what H stands for.
Yes.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Yeah, and then right away, Wraithmaker responded, obviously, one of the people who was on the last episode. That was an awesome recording session. Had a lot of fun. I can't tell whether or not he's being sarcastic, because that was the 24-hour podcast.
I think he liked it.
I know. And then, of course, Brett, you must read yours in your funny voice.
Yeah, but it was so...
long.
Plus BK licking the glass now.
Obviously, those vocal lessons paid off. That
so
was. You could sing the end with that sort of thing going on.
Aren't you
going
to finish it? You have to finish it.
No.
Yes.
No. Instead, I'm going to read the post immediately following that by Wraithmaker. Oh, yeah. In a world where headset malfunctions and internets go down, Ian Levenstein, Brent Cassina, and Raph become the last podcaster standing.
Dun dun dun.
Rated R. Coming to theaters this Thursday. Because we don't want coming out on Friday.
In a world.
It had to be said.
Oh, God.
And Matthew Guy responded with, thanks for the DC podcast goodness. That's Matthew Guy. Thank you very much there, Matthew. And then Carlos Cordova had this to say, great show to everyone. One little thing on my forum year review comment. What I meant by advanced DC solicitations before the solicitations was like in the December previews for books in February. It had the absolute long Halloween solicited, but it won't be released till April. Every month there's one or more trade like that. I'm sure they want to figure the numbers out ahead of time, but that's saying it's available for ordering, but won't be out for 4 months. Ha, yeah, I suck. Ha, again, great show. It was worth the wait. You don't suck, man. Come on, jeez. Oh, and great comment, Ian, with Mayo on Raging Bullets, and thank you very much for that. That was a lot of fun to put together, and I'm glad that I cracked them up in the process. So,
yeah, that was a good comment.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So, as was yours, for that matter.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, Brandon, you didn't have a comment, so...
No.
I guess, yeah.
I was going to post one, and then, like, you sent me the message, like, hey, want to be on? I'm like, okay, sure. Why not? I got some time.
Woohoo! And then we had a comment from, okay, I'm going to butcher this forum name, so Jurassic Alien?
No, Jurassic Alien.
Oh, there we go.
You Jurassic Park.
Oh, Jurassic Alien. I got you. Okay. I hadn't realized how much Marvel ticked me off this year until listening to both episodes and realizing DC kicked ass. That's Jurassic Alien. Well, if we can do that for you, by the way, welcome to the forums, by the way. I see that was your first post, so glad to have you aboard. But if we manage to do that, then I guess we're doing our job, I think. I liked what Marvel did this year. I just didn't like certain things, but, I guess... DC did do a better job this past year, and do you agree with that, Brandon? Or?
I do, actually. For a long time, I was nothing but like a Marvel reader, and I would read like a couple of DC titles here and there.
Yeah.
But my God, this year DC stole my wallet and kicked my ass, like in high school.
Now, question: was it Dan DiDio stealing your wallet and kicking your ass, or was it Supernova?
Well, I actually met that bald bastard in Wizard World Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, is it a reason why you're calling him a bald bastard?
Well, ever go on like one of his panels?
Yes.
Most vague man ever.
Next question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh no, my favorite. Flash survives Infinite Crisis. Yes or no? Yes or no? Next question.
So I sat in the first DC Nation panel for an hour, listening to the vagueness of this man talking about alpacas with Joan Hilty. I'm saying with Jan Jones, and I'm like, I went to this stupid panel, and all I got was a pin for DC Nation, which I can't use anywhere else because I'm stuck in Philadelphia.
Damn.
Wonderful.
Mm. Well, you should make it out to New York Comic Con, dude.
I wish I could.
Ugh. We'll miss you. We'll shout out to you at the podcast. Oh, it's not coming yet. No, I'm not that obvious. Jeez. But no, we got one more forum comment actually from Jay Ferguson, Modern Lover on the forums. Nice episode. I'm about halfway through at the moment, and I felt the same way about JLA number 5. That is not going to end well. It's a bad idea to piss off a man with a mace, especially when he knows what he's doing. And it's Jay Ferguson. Well, I think in this past issue of JSA, people learned that about a Hawkman. JLA. I know that, but I'm saying in general about people with maces.
Yeah. Who had a mace in JLA?
JLA? Hawkman.
He said a man.
No.
Yeah, he said piss off a man.
Oh, well, Preston. Yeah. I'm sure he probably meant Hawk Woman and Woman over there, but if you did meet anybody else, let us know. Because who else used a mace in that one? I'm trying to think. Was it anybody other than Hawk Girl?
No.
Okay.
And Hawk Girl didn't use it. She held it. And Arsenal went, Pretty bird. Which wasn't that funny when I read it.
I liked it.
Come on. It was comical.
Well, in fact, it had really good comic timing.
Oh, maybe it wasn't funny because Ian told it to me.
As
the best moment in the issue before I read it.
Oh.
Spoilers.
Well, you seemed to like it when I told you about it in the first place, dude.
No.
He chortled. He chortled.
Oh, yeah. He chortled?
He chortled.
Chortled. I like the word chortled. I'm going to have to use that in the future. Chortled. Chuckled. Guffaw.
Exactly.
I also realized that we stopped talking about comics about like 10 minutes ago, so probably be a good idea. So we'll end the episode right after. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guests of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, visit nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advanced purchases at nycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on a 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need, and please make sure to breathe as if you're Darth Vader.
You bastard.
I am Prince. I have asthma.
I was all set to do a funny voice.
Oh.
And you didn't set me up for it.
Oh.
That's how I was breathing like Darth Vader.
Well, go ahead and enjoy people over at...
No.
Go ahead. I'm setting you up for it now. Do it.
No.
Oh. Brandon, do a silver voice.
New York Comic Con.
Okay, that was bad.
No, yeah. I was thinking, the New York Comic Con's coming.
There you go.
That's a silly voice.
That is our silly voice for the show. It's all been set. It's all been done. Brent?
I feel so gay now.
Brent, you disappoint me, sir. I'm sorry. Can we make up? Can we make up? I know that there's been some bad blood between us. I just want to apologize.
Just get your hand off my leg.
Okay.
Oh, please don't spoon in front of me. I think I want to eat my lunch soon.
You don't get lunch.
It's 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m. And last I checked, you don't live in Australia, so.
Damn. How'd you guess?
Because you just said that you're in Pennsylvania.
Grr.
I like grr. Anywho. Brandon, you just released an episode of The Quarter Bin, right?
Yes, I did. Episode 4.
Episode 4. And the last one was released
in August.
I'm glad I don't listen to that podcast. Jeez.
Oh,
I'll be let down.
I'm on the Jim Lee School schedule here.
Okay. Actually, I think it's more along the lines of the Joe Quesada schedule. So.
Ooh. Burn.
Not quite Kevin Smith, though. That's a plus.
That was 2 years. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I remember that very, very well. So, what should we expect out of this fourth episode?
In episode 4, I talk about Aranya, Spellbinders, the 6-issue miniseries by Mike Carey, and Mark Miller's Trouble.
Ooh. Is there trouble in River City, sir?
Oh, God. I paid a quarter for each issue. Why did I pay so much?
On the next episode of Comic Books That Suck, I might have to dredge out my trouble.
Oh, it's trouble if you do.
I paid full price for those.
Wow.
I paid full price for those.
You, sir, got taken.
I got served.
Oh.
See, my thing was, I was afraid it was going to be canon. So I was like, I guess I'll pick it up. If it's going to, you know, change the relationship between Peter and May, then yeah, that'll...
Oh,
wait a second.
Oh, yeah, it does. Okay, it was 6 issues about a young May, Mary, Ben, and Richard. As you know, Mary and Richard are Peter's parents, and Ben and May are his aunt and uncle. Well, it turns out that May was quite the hoe bag when she was younger, as she slept with both Richard and Ben, got pregnant by Richard, and turns out that she's Peter's mommy.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, isn't it awesome that this didn't actually take place?
It's like,
and isn't it even more awesome that they weren't even technically like Aunt May or anybody? They were just people named May and Ben and Peter or whatever the fuck it was.
And then they named the baby Peter. Aww.
Oh, isn't that cute? He grew up to be Man-Spider.
Apparently, it was supposed to be like the start of the romance line again. By romance done by Rich. It was done by what's his name? That guy.
McKeever?
No, from the 60s romance line.
Oh, like I can't think of it.
Romita Senior.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy, okay. The famous guy.
Yeah, no, Romita Senior, who obviously did romance before he did Spider-Man.
Yeah, and so that was supposed to be like, you know, that relaunch of that line for teen girls.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Teen Girl hated it.
However, they did enjoy the other Spider-Man title, Mary Jane and Spider-Man. Mary Jane loves Spider-Man.
And Homecoming, yeah.
Yeah, but McKeever is DC exclusive now, so...
Well, isn't he part of the DC Minx line now?
I think he might be, but I'm not sure.
That's gonna be a shipwreck right there in a bottle.
Yeah, right. But no, definitely listen to the Quarter Bin. It's a heck of a lot of fun, and you had a Young Justice review on there once upon a time, so definitely worth listening to.
Yeah.
Young Justice!
Go!
Yay! Woohoo!
Arrow, I love you.
Anyway. Brent, you got any BK's Bullets showing up?
Yeah, or? I sent one in yesterday, so it should be on the next Raging Bullets.
Excellent.
So, like, the one that's released on the 12th, I think it should be on the tail end of that.
And what is the topic?
Kurt Busiek and Carlos Pacheco Superman run.
Ooh.
Nice.
That looks very nice.
Nice. Last issue was really good, so I'm glad that you're reviewing it. I hope that you agreed that it was good.
Yeah, it's okay.
Eh.
Well, I might have liked it if it came out sooner and it wasn't late.
Good point.
Oh, you're one of those guys, aren't you?
No. It was a 2-part story. You know, it tied in together a lot, and I was missing it for a while because I was supposed to do it before the holidays.
Yeah, I had actually thought I missed an issue because of how late it was, but I'm like, no, this leaves off exactly where it left off. What the hell? So, yeah, definitely check that out over at RagingBullets.com, and, you know, without a doubt, he will continue to be on that show, and probably even this one. Hopefully. You know, if he decides he still likes me after this train wreck of an episode.
If you don't lose this one again.
Oh, dude, no, this one is not lost.
Okay? Do not jinx
us. I guarantee you.
Don't jinx us.
I guarantee you. I double-checked to make sure that the first half was there. This is recording perfectly nicely. So we're good. We're good, buddy. Don't you worry. We'll never have that last one back, will we?
Mm-mm. It's the best.
Memories.
Group hug. I'm hugging my monitor.
I'm patting my monitor right now. And I tussle his hair right now also.
I'm flicking mine off.
Oh, God. You take me so many directions.
Oh, wow. And wait a minute. Your monitor has hair?
It's a toupee. It's a confidence booster.
So you apparently have one of those old bulky ones.
No, I have a flat screen, actually. It's a midlife crisis.
Are you going to get implants?
Yes, hair plugs.
Yes. Oh, man.
They got the sports car also.
Midlife crisis for a monitor. That's awesome. Oh, jeez. At this point, we better end the episode before I die. So, thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys enjoy JSA.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, this was amusing.
Yes, it was.
To say the least. I don't know where I am anymore. I think I'm still in Brooklyn, but I'm not sure. I might be in Florida, where it's 65 or whatever.
No, it's like 39 now.
Oh, okay. So we're used to that now.
Ooh. Well, that's not too bad.
Only because it's nighttime.
Oh. So when it's daytime again, you'll be swimming, okay.
No, it's still 65. I have to wear a jacket.
Damn.
Aww. Oh, a light windbreaker.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, let me get one more Wambulance.
Wambulance.
The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums over at cgspodcast.com/forums, which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated. And please dig us over at dig.com. There's a giant list of sites you can dig over at the Comic Timing Forums. So thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in for the past 30 episodes of Comic Timing. I very much hope that we lead you to excitement over the next couple of episodes. And once again, to Brandon and Brent, I thank you very much for joining.
You're quite welcome, sir.
I think...
Excellent.
I think my voice took off on you.
Why, thank you, sir. Definitely. And as always, there's always time for comics. You know what? It reached 2 a.m.
Yes, it did.
That's why. That's totally why.
It's the witching hour.
You know it. Exactly. Once you reach 2 a.m., I have no idea what the fuck I'm saying, what I'm doing, where I am, who I am. Whether or not I'm Ant-Man, I don't know.
I do Red Bull, this is why.
Okay, yeah.
I keep you saying.
I feel like penance right now, actually.
I love JSA.
JSA. It's Roxor.
No, it's Stephen Hawking.
Alright, we're not getting back into that, man. JSA is awesome. My favorite book is JSA.
Amazing.
I pride myself on how well I do that voice, okay? I've got a lovely bunch of cookies.
You sound like the brain from Teen Titans.
Oh, shit.
I had this brilliant idea today.
Yeah.
You know those, distressed jeans? Mm-hmm. I was thinking we can make depressed jeans with the razor blades still under them. More kids.
Oh, no, see, I like to call that penance.
Oh, oh, jeez.
I love saying the word Ken's new whore.
Just like the whore part.
Yeah. Hey, guess what, kids? It's Ken's new whore.
Whore, whore.
She was a what? Whore. Whore.
And make my funny voices bigger.
There goes one more listener.
Whoa, Brent, man, damn, dude, you're gonna blow me over.
Brent, what are you doing? Why'd you get so quiet all of a sudden? Heavy breathing. Are you looking at something?
I'm not doing anything.
Are you okay?
Are you looking at something on your PC? We should know.
No, I'm looking at the forum.
Oh.
Yeah, I get really heavily awesome playing on the forum.
Oh.
I'm not meaning to do it.
Just Bill. Oh,
edit this. I need a chip. I need a chip.